This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and file the following story under awesome.
Because it's not that often that a revolutionary scientific theory is confirmed by actual observation.
And it's even less likely that such confirmation comes while the original scientist is still alive.
And it's almost unheard of that the team that makes the confirmation works just down the road from the scientist who proposed the first radical idea.
But that is exactly what happened this week when an astronomy team announced that it has detected gravitational waves, or ripples in space, that prove a cornerstone of Big Bang Theory.
That cornerstone is called cosmological inflation, the infinitesimally small slice of time at the birth of the universe when space-time expanded much faster than its surroundings. A Harvard team made this week's discovery, and one of the founders of the original concept, first proposed 35 years ago, works a little farther down Mass Ave at MIT.
Joining us is John Kovach. He is an associate professor of astronomy at Harvard University, and he led the team that made this most recent and very exciting discovery. Professor Kovach, welcome to the program.
Hi, Meghna. Thank you very much for having me.
Congratulations to you, first of all.
Well, thank you. It's good to have reached this point, particularly in the last week, to be able to talk with Alan about our results.
So you mentioned Alan, who is Professor Alan Guth. He's a professor of physics at MIT, and he's one of the fathers of cosmological inflation. Professor Guth, welcome to you.
Thank you very much, Meghna. Glad to be here.
And congratulations to you as well.
Thank you.
So I have to say, to have both of you here on both ends of this great discovery is fantastic. So first of all, Professor Kovach, let me just ask you, explain to those of us who are astronomical laypeople exactly what it is that your team has discovered.
Well, what we've done is we've built a very specialized telescope, the most sensitive microwave telescope that we humans could possibly build. We've taken that telescope down to the bottom of the Earth, the South Pole, and we've stared for 3 years at a tiny patch of sky looking for a pattern, the polarization of the ancient light that comes to us from the Big Bang, that would have a swirling component to it that would indicate evidence of gravitational waves churning up the early universe. These gravitational waves are a prediction of Alan's theory, the theory of cosmic inflation. And after long and hard work on the data set, has shown exactly this swirling pattern.
And so when the data began to speak to you, what was your first reaction?
Skepticism, of course.
Of course. As any good scientist would do.
Absolutely. No, we've looked at the data in every possible way that we can think of to eliminate alternative explanations. You know, what else could it be? There's no way it could be validation of this outlandish, amazing theory about what happens in the first tiny fraction of a second. It must be something much more mundane and prosaic. We've eliminated all those possibilities, and at the same time, the data kept coming in, making this signal clearer and clearer.
Yeah. And so, Professor Guth, I understand that Professor Kovach actually came to you once he felt confident about his observations and his team's data and said, hey, that theory that you proposed, that outlandish theory, as people have called it, back in 1979, we see proof of it in the universe. What was your reaction?
Well, John was kind enough to come over to MIT, and he told me right away that it was what's called a five sigma result, which is just astoundingly real. So I was just overwhelmed. I was shocked that the theory could be measured at that level of precision. It's just amazing.
I mean, I can only imagine what that feels like, because so much science, and especially cutting-edge science, and especially in the field of astrophysics, is done in a realm where, you know, you're taking what we already know, but pushing the bounds of our knowledge into things that maybe as of yet, when you're doing the original research, can't necessarily be measured. But to find that confirmed a generation later, while you're still alive... It must be a fantastic feeling.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, it's certainly a fact that when I was first doing this work back in the 1980s, I never believed that anybody would measure any of the effects that inflation was predicting.
Professor Guth, correct me if I'm wrong, but you did your initial work and research on paper, essentially?
That's right. This concept of inflation doesn't require complicated calculations, actually. So, yeah, I really was working on paper.
I have to say, for science nerds out there, that just makes my heart sing, that these original calculations done with, you know, pen and paper are confirmed by wildly sophisticated telescopes a generation later in Antarctica. It's sort of the entire arc of what the human mind can do when given the opportunity. So, Professor Kovac, tell us, what are the implications for what we understand about the universe, given that now you've confirmed these gravitational waves exist?
Well, I would say that as we confirm that the signal actually is a messenger to us from the first moments of the Big Bang, it has the potential to inform us about physics at energies that are trillions of times greater than any that we can create with the most powerful particle accelerators here on Earth. So it's really got the potential to teach us something extremely fundamental about physical law.
What fraction of time are we looking at in terms of right at the birth of the universe?
We're talking about something like a trillionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a second, 10 to the minus 36 seconds.
Wow.
Otherwise, a decimal point, 35 zeros and a one, that fraction of a second.
And so just to reiterate what Professor Kovac said, essentially what has now been confirmed or observed is the energy released in that trillionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a second that created the Big Bang.
That's right.
And we're looking back some 14 billion years.
That's right.
For people who don't do this for a living, it's almost unimaginable.
That's right. That's right.
And so
it's funny how you get used to it. I mean, all the numbers associated with this used to sound completely crazy to me, too, when I first started working on this. And the more you hear them, the more commonplace they sound.
Well,
that's
the
human mind works.
I suppose most revolutionary science does sound completely crazy when you first come up with it, but that's what makes it revolutionary.
That's right. One of the things that this result tells us is that the energy scale at which inflation occurred is very near the energy scale associated with what particle physicists call grand unified theories. These are speculative theories which propose that the interactions that we see in nature at low energies, the weak, the strong, and the electromagnetic interactions, all merge into one interaction at an extraordinarily high energy, this energy. And as more details come in about the exact behavior of these gravitational waves that are being seen, it's hard to tell, you know, where that might lead.
Well, that's kind of the exciting part, right? We never know where it's going to lead.
Absolutely, absolutely. One other point in terms of new physics. Physicists have, I think, always believed that gravity, like the other interactions of nature, should be described by quantum theory.
Uh-huh.
But we've never had any direct evidence for that before. This really is the first direct evidence that gravity is described by a quantum theory, because these gravitational waves that are being seen actually are generated by the uncertainties of quantum theory.
So this is where we bring in Mr. Einstein, right?
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
And Professor Kovac, I understand that your discovery tells us something about the fact that our universe, the one that we inhabit, may be but one of many.
So this is a good question to ask people like Alan, because my role in this science really is to build experiments that measure the aspects of our observable universe. And so we stick to what we are told are questions that we might be able to go out and test. And I'll leave questions like this to Alan.
Okay. So you're the man who does the measurements, and Professor Guth is the one who maybe imagines what should be measured. So tell us, what does this mean about the universe that we inhabit versus other possible ones?
Well, it turns out that almost all versions of inflation lead to a phenomenon called the multiverse. That is, once this process of inflation starts, it never stops. It stops in places and produces universes like the one we see, but it goes on in other places producing other universes. In a way, it's maybe just part of the general feature of science that as soon as you can describe something as a consequence of physical laws rather than as simply some philosophical proclamation, physical laws, once they apply, they apply, and what happens as a consequence of them generally never happens only once.
Right. Well, Professor Kovac, my final question to you, and I know that scientists tend to demur when we ask things like this, but I'm going to do it anyway. There are a lot of people out there who are saying that your research and what it confirms may be one of the most important scientific discoveries in a long, long time. And I just wonder what your reaction is to that.
Well, I think that I and my whole team appreciated the significance of the pattern that we saw emerge from our data We knew how fundamental it was in terms of what it could tell us about the universe and about physical law, as Alan is saying. So we're really eager to get this information out there and to keep making these measurements. So I think that it's going to be a very exciting time in the coming months.
And Professor Guth, for you, I'm curious. Back in 1979, I understand that on that famed piece of paper, when you made those first calculations about cosmological inflation, at the top of it you wrote, spectacular realization, and drew a double box around it. I wonder if maybe somewhere in your office there's a piece of paper that says, spectacular realization confirmed.
Not yet, but sounds like a clever idea. I think maybe I'll do that and post it on the wall.
Well, Alan Guth is a professor of physics at MIT, and he is one of the fathers of the idea of cosmological inflation, or what might have given the universe that energy for the Big Bang to begin with. Professor Guth, it has been an absolute pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much, Meghna.
And John Kovac, associate professor of astronomy at Harvard University, who led the team that observed those gravitational waves in this most recent discovery. Professor Kovac, absolute pleasure to speak with you as well. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Meghna. And Alan, I'll see you at the seminar this afternoon.
Oh, great. Glad you could come.
Okay.
By the way, you know, the room has been changed.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm
it's
sure we'll find our way.
54-100.
Bigger room?
Bigger room. Yes.
Yeah, I imagine a lot more people want to come now. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you very much. Meghna.
A lot of scary, smart people at that seminar, no doubt. That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.